and welcome to episode 59 of Divided by Werewolves. We are in November, which means only 2 months left in this year. The Black Friday ads have started to hit, and I got to say, I don't know about you. I don't know what you're looking for this year. What with your huge backlog of games to begin with, but I was I mean, I can still do my annual Assassin's Creed tradition, and it will be $5 cheaper this year. In the past, it's been $35, but if I can, if Best Buy lets me buy shit early, like they typically do for elite members, I can get it for $30. Otherwise, I think I have to pay $35, like, because I'm not going out at 5 o'clock on a Thursday to to buy it. But
yeah, no, it's pretty slim. The last year, like you mentioned my backlog, I have a stack I've mentioned on the show before that I haven't even touched that I bought on last Black Friday. But I did see that God of War is going to be like $25.
I'm definitely going to pick that up. Totally worth it.
Yeah, absolutely that doing totally that. Worth it. And it seems like there was something else that I was looking at that I may pull the trigger on, but the only definite is God of War. I'm sort of interested in Detroit at $20. But Detroit is something I feel like might be next Black Friday before I get to, and it's going to be $20 forever pretty soon, I think.
Actually, by that time, it would be free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to hold off on that, I think. There's something else, but I don't remember what it was.
I mean, for me, it's definitely – I was surprised. Everybody was like, well, I'm just going to wait and get Red Dead Redemption for Black Friday. And I was like, are you high?
Yeah,
like, in no way are they gonna. No. I mean, Jesus Christ, it sold more copies in a week than they said it took Red Dead to sell in like 7 years or something ridiculous.
Right.
Like, there is
also, it's a Rockstar game. Rockstar games don't typically go on sale or ever get cheaper.
Right. So, I mean, occasionally now you can get the GTA 5 remat, super edition for $30, but how long has that been out for?
Right.
And what's amazing is how many people still buy it.
Yep. Still buy it, still play it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
What was I going to say? So there really wasn't anything. I mean, I've been working on I'm finally going to pull the trigger and do like a NAS for all my movies and stuff, and so I've been in the process of like kind of ripping all my stuff. And you know, they make it sound so easy. Like, it's, oh, yeah, you just rip your stuff and then you get Plex. And it's like, that is not that way at all. Like, it's such a pain in the ass to try to figure everything out. And I mean, trying to figure out like subtitles and all that shit so that, you know, you could pick them if you want them, but they turn on when they're supposed to. But then also, you know, like different devices support different things. So like right now, and I know that, I mean, like if we, and the reason I'm doing it is because we don't ever watch any of the movies we have, even though we have a shit ton of them, because, you know, it's just to go through and find them and look through them and try to figure it out. Whereas if it's kind of at your fingertips, almost like Netflix or something, then you'd be more willing to do it. But, you know, like my TV can have the Plex app on it, but for whatever reason, it's just a limitation or a bug or whatever. When it sends the sound out, it doesn't do it in the surround sound. And it's like, well, you paid for the speakers and you put them up and all that shit. So,
right.
So I read that like a Fire Stick will do it. So I was like, well, I'll wait until Black Friday. So if you get the regular one, it's like $25 if you want to get the 4K, which is kind of a waste for me because I don't really do anything in 4K. It's like $35. So that's really the only thing I was kind of looking at. And I mean, there's always movies. Like, I always go to Target late in the day on Black Friday because they still have a ton of like $5 movies.
Yep, that's exactly what I do.
But between that and then like the hard drives I'm going to put in the NAS, I'm hoping Amazon either has like a Black Friday or like for Cyber Monday that they put the hard drives on sale. And that's really, I mean, that and Assassin's Creed.
I bought a hard drive today, actually. It's the second thing I've gotten for Christmas so far. But the Best Buy has their pre-Black Friday whatever thing on.
Yeah.
And they had like a 4 terabyte external that came with a 32 gig thumb drive also for like $79 or something like that.
That's really good.
Yeah, so I said, fuck, I'm gonna go ahead and do that because the kids, their Xbox is always they're always having to delete shit, and there's shit Katie wants on there that Jacob doesn't want on there, and this and that. And
yeah.
So this will solve that problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for us, I mean, it like Plex is really cool. Like I have it on my laptop that, to start like playing with it, just to make sure, because if you just start ripping stuff and then throw it on there and then you go to watch it, you might find yourself very disappointed in what's going on. But I mean, yeah, it is really cool. It's a very slick interface, and you just can go ahead and, you know, kind of just, you know, it's just like Netflix. I mean, it shows everything. And then with the Plex Pass that you can do, there's all sorts of shit it can do. It'll go out and, like, if you have movies, so like you could tell it, go get extras and stuff, and it'll just go out and find extras for your movies. You could tell it, like, hey, I want to play trailers, and it'll either get the trailers for movies that are in your library or other movies, even Red Band trailers. And you can tell them, yeah, play trailers before my movies. You can set up, there's a service called Sonar with two R's. Mm-hmm. Where it's essentially, you tell it what TV shows you want, and it constantly scans different, like, upload sites, and then will automatically get the shows, put them in your Plex, like, download them, throw them on your NAS or whatever. So you can just, it's like having cable or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and getting it legally, but it's on your NAS. And then they also have, like, different apps for the different like networks and stuff. So, I mean, it's a fair amount of work to set up, but they have all this cool shit that you can do. And even if you wanted to do, if you're just like, fuck cable, if you want to buy like an HD antenna, you could throw that up, and then it can be a DVR for all those shows, and it'll record them. So, I mean, it's really cool. It's just, it's setting it up, and my wife and I are so tired of talking about it. And because it's like, you know, there's just different, you know, like I said, you think it's just, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just gonna start ripping this stuff and then I'm ready to go. And no, unfortunately, it's just not that simple.
Gotcha.
But, you know, oh well, such is life. Okay, so we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. Real quick, before you get into Outlast 2, so I picked up Diablo 3 for the Switch last week on Friday, and I mean, you hate to be reductive, but if what you wanted was Diablo 3 on the Switch, everything that you love about Diablo 3, just on the Switch, this is fucking exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
Because, it, like, a perfect example, my son had a dentist appointment, and I fucking was grinding Nephilim riffs while he was at the dentist.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, and it's the same Diablo 3 you have been playing since Christ was a child. That's what it feels like. I started playing Diablo 3 on the 360. And then got the next edition when they added all the extra stuff on the PS4, and then never pulled the trigger on the Necromancer pack because I think it came out at the time they announced, like, I had the Ultimate Evil edition, whatever it was, for the longest time, just sitting there, and I was like, well, I'm never going to get rid of it. And then when they announced the Switch, I was like, getting rid of it.
Yeah. That's the main draw for me for the Switch version, is to get to play as the Necromancer.
But then, you know, doing the seasons, the nice thing too about the Switch is, so, I mean, if you've been playing Diablo 3 for a long time, it's not a big deal. But if you just kind of come in hot, you know, it used to be you had to go through the whole story before you could do adventure mode. You don't have to on the Switch. You can just jump right into adventure mode. So you can just make a character, start doing bounties, start doing rifts, jump into a season if you want. And it's fucking great. Now, I don't know how easy it is to play with other people. Frankly, I don't give a shit. But, I mean, it has all the networking stuff. I don't know if you need the Nintendo subscription or not for it.
I think online you do, but it also has local co-op.
Yes.
So if four people have Switches and four people have the game, they can just play it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you can do co-op, too, with, like, the Joy-Cons and stuff. So.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's great. It looks great. It plays great. It's, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I'm like, Ah, man, I don't want to play Destiny anymore. I'm just doing the same stuff over and over again to get better loot. Diablo 3! You know? But it's, you know, and again, I don't want to sound reductive because, you know, you're just like, well, it's Diablo 3 and the Switch. What'd you expect? But that's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And the Necromancer is a cool class. I still, my Crusader, like, I'm tempted to start up a Crusader all over again because that, when that class gets going, holy shit, it is so fucking fun. But there is something to be said about just the Necromancer, you're just kind of like, you're kind of fighting, you're like, I need something to die. Like, once something dies, then it's like, oh man, it's all over. Like, it's, and then it's just like corpse explode, you know, you're just fucking popping off corpses like bombs and sucking life. I mean, it's that waiting for something to die that you're just like, it's getting a little dicey. So, but it's totally worth it. I mean, it's kind of, I was wondering if there would be deals on Black Friday, but I think, you know, same as Red Dead.
Dude, not even just same with Red Dead. Switch shit in general just does not get any cheaper.
No.
And it doesn't have to. Like, that's the thing about the system.
Yeah. Yep. So you've been playing Outlast 2, is that right?
I did, yeah. I'm a little over halfway through with Outlast 2. I played the demo when it came out. I think it was in October of like the year that we were really still putting stuff up on the YouTube channel. Like, we mm-hmm. were streaming all the time and this and that. And so I did the demo. I really liked it. But I'm also one of these people that still prefers to have physical copies of things. And so I didn't pull the trigger on it because, number one, I also have this thing where I don't like to pay a lot of money for digital games.
Yeah.
I feel like they should be cheaper.
Yes.
And I think it was $40 when it came out. And I was like, well, I'm not going to pull the trigger on it. I'll wait for a sale or something like that. And then I ended up buying the physical Outlast Trinity. I think it was last Black Friday, to be honest. We were talking about my stupid backlog. So this weekend,
this awesome, like, new game called Far Cry. You're going to love it.
I know. So this past weekend, I was like, I had nothing to do in Destiny on either system, really. And I was like, I need to play some of this shit because I'm tired of looking at it. And I was like, Outlast, the first one, you know, it was a, I don't know if it was a launch title or not, but because I got my PS4 at launch and I was just dying for shit to play on it because, you know, I had Battlefield 4 and most of the launch shit I wanted, I had already finished fairly quickly. And I was like, I kept looking at the free games and I saw this game Outlast. Outlast. And I was like, huh, that looks interesting. So I downloaded, it was free. And so I got that. I actually really ended up enjoying it. You know, with this game, it's basically you have a camcorder mm-hmm. and that's it. You have no way to defend yourself. It's a survival horror. You can run and you can hide. That's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one, it was in this like asylum or something like that, or I think it was an asylum, but then it had this satanic shit going on. And it was really fucking gory and scary as fuck. At one point I was like, I was getting towards the end and I had to stop. I was like, I need to play this tomorrow when the sun's up and it's safe. I was like, I was sitting here by myself, scared as hell, like towards the end of the game. So two, I'm enjoying it. It has like things I like better than one, things mm-hmm. I like less than one. So I think I like the story in one a little better, but I'm not done yet, so I can't really say that. But as far as like the, it looks better, it looks great. Mm-hmm. Just like you're not in one specific place. It's like the difference between Resident Evil and Resident Evil 2.
Right.
Where, you know, RE, you're in the mansion almost the entire time.
Right.
And then, two, you're in Raccoon City. So this is the same kind of thing. You're wide open. You're in a helicopter at the beginning and it crashes. And then your wife is taken, or when you come to, your wife's missing and you're trying to find her. That's sort mm-hmm. of, but there's cult stuff. There's satanic stuff going on. There's all kinds of crazy shit happening. There's a, a lady that walks around with a pickaxe, and that's how the demo ended, with you running through a cornfield from some of these crazed villager people or whatever, and you jump a fence and you run right into her, and she slams that thing into your stomach and then just rips you wide open.
Nice.
And that's how the demo ended, and I was like, huh, how do you come back from that, I wonder?
Yeah. That seems like that would sting a little.
It's like that should be the end of that character, but so it turns out that was just the it was two different parts of the game that they kind of meshed together.
Gotcha.
To a death animation for the ending, I guess, to make you, because she hadn't killed me yet, so
gotcha.
But it's fun. But man, I'll tell you what, I think I texted you, this guy falls off of more shit than any video game character I have ever played. Like, he falls, and it's scripted. He's supposed to,
right?
And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, what else can I be knocked off of or fall off of?
That's
funny.
But
it's a good game, though. Scary as fuck, but it's good.
Yeah, like, I still have Soma. Like, I haven't started it yet because I'm like, and just like, you know, we talk about these VR games and stuff, and it's like, you know, like, I have a bunch of VR games that, like, I really want to get Astrobot, and I have Moss that I paid for that I still haven't played.
Tetris Effect is what, tomorrow?
Yeah, you know, Tetris and me, it's kind of like, you know, I follow, like, on Cheap Ass Gamer, the thread for cheap VR games is really good. You know, there's a lot of, you can find out a lot of good stuff in that thread. And, you know, one guy was like, yeah, I played the demo. And I mean, at the end of the day, it was Tetris. So, you know, they didn't really, you know, for them, it really wasn't that, you know, kind of big of a deal. And I like Tetris. I don't like it, you know, enough to, you know, for that. So to pay that kind of money. But I'm just kind of, you know, excited for the potential of it being cool enough to where I can, like, play VR games and not end up this big, nasty, sweaty mess.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you know, I can actually have the window open. You know, like
yeah. I am too. Like, I started a couple of things I haven't finished yet that I was enjoying, but it's like, good Lord, like I'm disgusting after like 30 minutes.
Yep, pretty much. So yeah. So it'll be. I'd like to get back into it. And it's like, you know, for me, because I stream as much as I do, I'm always like, well, I don't really know. Like, I've never gone back and watched a stream of a VR game. But because I can't interact with anybody, it's like I like playing them, but I also don't, because then I don't really have, you know, much of a chance to kind of, you know, talk to people kind of while I'm playing. So,
I enjoyed the Farpoint stream. I watched most of it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You know, it's hard because when you know, you're kind of just in the goggles. You don't really know, like,
yeah.
You know what?
Oh, it was fun to watch.
And you know, Moss is one of those games that I was like, I was waiting for it to go on sale, like, because like you, I mean, I know that, I don't know, for me, the reason I feel like they should be cheaper is because I can't trade them in. And maybe that's a shitty reason, but you know what? It is what it is.
Right. So,
You know, I'm still playing Divinity, which is great. And I'm starting to get back to the parts where things are no longer easy. So, which is good. Because, I mean, you know, you definitely kind of get... It's definitely a rhythm with this game where you'll kind of struggle for a while, excuse me, and then you won't. And now I'm back to struggling.
Gotcha.
For certain things. So, and then Red Dead is on its way. Although I won't be getting to that for a while, on account of the fact that, you know, I have Divinity to play. So,
yeah.
All right, so we have a bunch of TV show movies. What do you want to do first? Because we have a couple things.
Probably Sabrina.
Okay.
I would think.
All right, so Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is smart that they did that. They didn't call it Sabrina the Teenage Witch, because this is not a Melissa Joan Hart sitcom.
It is not.
So originally it's supposed to be a show on the CW because that's where Riverdale is. And it somehow made it to be a Netflix-only type of thing. And I have no connection to Sabrina whatsoever other than seeing her, I guess, occasionally show up in Archie comics.
Yeah.
Hopefully that does not – nobody thinks too poorly of me on that. So I would like to hear your thoughts first because you're a fan of the comic.
Yes.
And,
well, I mean, specifically, I'm a fan of the Sabrina comic, the new one, because like a few years ago, I'd never read Archie ever. I knew what it was. It just didn't appeal to me. And then a few years ago, they came out with this book called Afterlife with Archie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked the writer and the artist. So I was like, hell yeah, I'll take a zombified Archie comic. I'll give it a shot at least. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being amazing. It was so fucking good. And it was like the issues were selling out. Like it was doing great. And I'm like, when's the last time anybody was excited for Archie?
Right.
And for whatever reason, Archie, they like the book stopped coming out. Like it wouldn't come. It was like monthly for a while. And then it'd be like every 2 months you might get an issue. And then it was like it kept getting longer and longer. And I'm like, do they not like money? I don't understand why you can't get this out because it's really fucking good. And then they did a Sabrina spinoff, which and these are dark comics, man. They're shrew horror comics. It's not Archie. It's not the Archie that, you know, this isn't your granddad's Archie or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Like they're very graphic. And the Sabrina was the same way. Like it was super dark and there was all the satanic stuff and it was just – and I was like, wow, man, if this was how it always had been – for me, it would have been amazing.
Right.
It never would have lasted this long.
Right, like, right.
Like, it never would have been a thing. But Sabrina was even worse than an Afterlife. Like, it was almost – there was almost a year gap between, I think, issue, like, maybe 4 and 5 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it never came out. But when it did, it was so good. And so, and then they went on to do a Jughead Werewolf comic, which actually has maintained a monthly schedule.
That's awesome.
For some reason. The other two can't, but that one can come out. And it's the worst of the three.
Oh.
Yeah. So, which I guess that there's something to be said, right? At least the one issue of Sabrina I get every 2 years is really fucking good.
Right.
But so then I see the trailer for the Netflix show and I'm like, again, I've said this a million times, fucking give that guy a raise for whoever cut that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh my God, it's the fucking comic book, only it's a show and they're doing it. They're going there. And then I watched it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, and I didn't know it was supposed to be a CW show at first. So that kind of makes some sense to me.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because this is important. Have you seen Riverdale? Like, have you watched, not seen it? I mean, and I know you don't watch a lot of TV. Sure. Not necessarily seen it, but like watched it.
I watched the first episode.
Okay. So not past that then?
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't a fan. Didn't grab me.
But here's the thing. So my wife and I, we watch a lot of TV, and we kept seeing how everybody said how great Riverdale was. The first season we started watching it, and I was like, why couldn't you cast an actual ginger? I know they're fucking demon spawns and nobody likes them. But at the same time, like, why do you have to – this guy's eyebrows are, like – it's like – I mean, it's fucking dark as coal, man. It's like he's not a redhead. It's cool.
Right.
Like, the drapes don't match the curtains. Or the, no, that's not it. They don't,
carpet
though.
Doesn't match
the
drapes.
Carpet doesn't match the drapes. And the curtains either. All of them. The valances.
None of that shit matches.
It's all gone. Anyway, the point is – I was like, first of all, why can't you find an actual redhead? But then, you know, we watched the first a big chunk of the first season, and we were like, well, this is just, you know, well, it's stupid. But
yeah.
Then we kept hearing about how great the second season was. Okay. And so we were like, okay. You know, so we watched the second season. I watched the entire second season, and Jesus Christ, it was shit. It was shit on toast, which is worse because you think you're going to get a delicious breakfast, and it's shit. But then we kept watching it, which, you know, whatever. That's us, I guess. That's what we do. And so, you know, it was one of those things where I was just like, I don't understand why everybody likes this show as much as they do. Like, I don't get it. So we stopped, and then when I saw, you know, that Sabrina was coming out, but I thought, okay, well, if it's on Netflix, it can do more stuff than it would have been able to do, you know, on the CW. And it did. But, you know, I tweeted this out, and I still think it's true that, to me, she is the Danny Rand of of Riverdale. And I say that for a couple reasons. The first being that she is the least charismatic or slash interesting. I don't know if interesting is the right word. The actress who plays her, Kiernan Shipka, who apparently was on Mad Men, is not good.
Yeah, no.
She's very flat.
Yep.
And for the main character, she kind of sucks to be the actress playing her.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, the show had its moments for me. Like, in particular, the first episode, I was kind of into it.
See, I hated the first episode. I was just like, I was like, I was like, all right, I'm going to keep watching because we said we were going to talk about it, but what?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that ended up being the only one that was written by the guy who wrote the comic book. And because I was, as the episodes went on, I was noticing, like, it had different directors almost every time. It had different writers. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be bad. Like, I could just tell. But to be perfectly honest, my favorite, absolute favorite was Hilda, like Lucy Davis.
And I didn't understand. Well, that was the other thing. I was talking to Linda about it today. I was like, Zelda was such a bitch to Hilda, and Hilda was fucking great. And I was like, I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about Sabrina to know if that's always been the way it is. It's not that way in the comic, so I never really got that.
Yeah, because I was like, she's just mean to her. Like, she's just super, super mean to her. And Hilda is awesome. Like, Lucy, like, she was fantastic. So cool. Just like the warlock guy who was, like, trapped in the house. I liked him too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ambrose.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. So it has its moments, but it's like, and the horror stuff isn't terrible. Like, it's decent ish, like some of the creature designs and things like that. But it's so goddamn CW / Buffy that it just...
See, I think that I would disagree with you 100% on that, because...
Are you a Buffy guy?
I'm a huge Buffy guy, but also I think the quality of it, like, I think that the relationships between all of, like the Scooby gang was, I think they were much better established, and I realize it's only been one season, but, you know, over time,
You're talking in Buffy?
Yeah, in Buffy, like, over time, all of those characters, I mean, they had their own motivations, they had their reasons, they had their own, you know, voices and all that stuff, and, you know, all of Sabrina's friends, they were just there to move a plot. That's all they were there for.
Right. So, you know, I should throw an asterisk on my speaking to Buffy. I saw one season of Buffy.
What?
I didn't care for it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it wasn't my jam. I tried.
No. I'm not. I get it. Like, it's not for everybody, but man, that show is fucking great.
Yeah, no.
Like,
that show was
legitimately great.
So my takeaway, my thing, and why I kind of compared the Sabrina to Buffy was, and I'm basing season one of Buffy and season one of Sabrina. That's my, you know, exposure to each. Season one of Buffy was, hey, here's the creature of the week. We had to figure out how to beat it. We do that. We move on.
Same with Supernatural.
Right. Supernatural. Like,
No, I mean, it definitely, I mean, here's the thing. It definitely took there was an overall big bad in Buffy that was, you know, the master. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the overall big bad in the first season of Supernatural was John Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
Not being right. there.
Right, right.
And in Sabrina, you know, there is kind of an overarching, there's an overarching plot to it that the main character knows fuck all about.
Right. And there's so many throwaway episodes that do nothing to advance
but
the story.
Those were the best ones.
You think?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the problem. When you have an overarching plot and the episodes that don't really move it forward or are ancillary towards it are your best ones,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the show has lots of problems. But yeah. And I'm so surprised because I am reading nothing but praise for the show, yeah. like everywhere. And I just – I'm not going to watch any more of it. I'm done. Like,
how many episodes did you watch?
I watched all 10.
Okay.
I'm not, there won't be a season 2 for me. I might just for Hilda, like, you know, dip my toes into the next season if it's like Halloween time and I'm just in the mood or whatever. Because I love Lucy Davis. Like, she, like, I love Shaun of the Dead. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. And she is fucking, is one of the best, she is silently one of the best parts of that entire movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's not given much, like, many lines or much screen time, but when she does get to speak,
yes,
she is fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, especially like when she's trying to coach all of them to act like zombies.
Yeah.
And she gets to Sean's mom. Yeah. She's like, "Oh, Barbara, excellent."
Yeah.
And she's like, "What was that, dear? I was miles away." She wasn't even trying to be a zombie.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, for me, I got to a point where I was just like, do I have to keep watching this? But then I was like, no, I'll keep watching it. Like, Lord knows I've watched worse, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to kind of keep on, you know, keeping on with it. But
it was a slog for me. Oh,
it was
God.
A slog for me too. Yeah, I hated
that I hated that I made you watch it.
No, you don't, please. As much stuff as I've, you know,
I hated myself for watching it.
You don't have to feel that way at all. You know, but it was definitely, you know, one of those things where, I didn't understand why everybody liked it as much as they did.
I
there was so much of it that I just was like, I don't know. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't, I don't know. A big part of it was Sabrina herself.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought she was...
Nobody really, other than Ambrose and Hilda, most of them were bad, I thought. I guess the sisters, Prudence and them, they were okay.
Yeah, but I didn't like that either. Because I'm like, how the fuck in 2018 are you going to have an episode of a show where you fucking lynch a black girl? Like, I'm sorry. I mean, maybe that's just me, you know, being overly sensitive to this shit, but I just feel like I understand thematically it made sense with the 13 right. and all that, but
right.
I mean, come on. Like, yeah. I mean, making a black girl kind of the villain in the first place, like, and then you're going to fucking lynch her? Like, really? It seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody thought.
That, you know, well, maybe we could, like, maybe we could do something where she gets her comeuppance in a way where she's not lynched. Like, that's all I'm saying. That's it. I don't feel like I'm saying a lot. Yeah, I don't feel like I'm asking too much in that particular situation. But you know, and it ended, and you know, it kind of ended in a way that, you know, you kind of knew more stuff's coming. But like you said, it's a question of whether.
That's the other thing. The other thing that irked me, and I, you know, we've been told we could talk spoilers. So if you don't want to know the ending of Sabrina season 1, then skip ahead. But it bugged the shit out of me that the entire premise of the show started with Sabrina not wanting to sign the book and not wanting to get the power and give up her freedoms. And it took 10 episodes to completely undo every bit of that.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, so what's the fucking point? I mean, I don't understand why she's so adamant that she's, and it's, if it's supposed to show us that she loves Harvey, good God, it beats you in the fucking head every episode that she loved Harvey, for God's sakes. So why we get to, she could, I mean, she's done nothing but fuck up essentially from the first.
As I'm telling you, that's why, you know, she's the Danny Rand of Riverdale.
You're right.
You know, she feels, and I understand, like, that was one of the things, the kind of what they're trying to set up is that, you know, she's young, she's stupid, she thinks she knows better, but she doesn't.
Right. Right.
And that's great, except for the fact that you're supposed to like your main character.
Yeah.
Unless, even something like Breaking Bad, you still, you liked Walter White.
I was even team you, Walter White.
Even if you didn't agree with what he was doing, you still, you know, you still rooted for him.
Absolutely.
You still wanted to know kind of what would happen. And so to, you know, here, yeah, you, she spends this entire season, like you said, saying like, I want free choice and free will and whatnot. And I'm not going to do what the good, the bad book says, just because, you know, he fucking said it, but you know, I am, however, going to be a huge dumbass and not fucking listen.
Right.
To anybody who knows more than me, and then it's going to go poorly.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know how much shit I'm going to catch for saying it was like Buffy.
Well, yeah, you know, a little.
Yeah. I'm clearly not a Buffy expert.
I don't agree with
that. I openly admit that.
but I can understand where you're coming from. You know, the thing about it is, you know, Buffy, the first season, and Todd and I used to argue about this all the time. He was always like, the first season of Buffy sucked. And I was like, no, it didn't. And he was like, yeah, actually, it really did.
And it did,
like,
for me.
And I was like, no, it didn't. And he's like, no, really, it did.
Well, yeah. So,
I don't know if it was just like, you know, kind of the novelty of it, or just, well, when I go back and watch it now, I am watching it going, with like nostalgia almost.
But not just that, but now you know that the show finds its legs
better.
And what it ends up being. So it's the same thing if you go back and watch, like you said, Supernatural or even Smallville.
Yeah.
You know, well, I love Smallville.
Smallville was never good.
Okay, well, I loved it. Like, I couldn't wait.
That's fine. I love a lot of shit that's terrible. It doesn't mean it's good.
so like, Buffy,
they had a whole season where Lana was a witch. Okay,
yeah, I know. It's fine.
It's not fine.
Weird shit happened to the Smallville. Look, weirder shit has happened to those kids since the show ended than ever happened to them on the show.
No, I will. Smallville again. Like, I watch a lot of show that's not a lot of TV that I love that's not good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be honest with ourselves.
You're right. You're probably right. Michael Rosenbaum is a good Lex, though.
He's a great Flash. He's a better Flash than it was Lex.
Okay. So anyway, I was getting to watch Buffy. I was so excited because I used to work at a mill, and my shift was 4 in the afternoon till midnight. Mm-hmm. So I missed all the television. And that's when Buffy happened.
Yeah.
So I never got to watch it. But I heard nothing but how amazing it was. And so FX was going to start airing Buffy, like reruns, every night at 7. And I was like, hell yeah. I was so excited that first night. Like, I was there. I was on the couch in the apartment when I lived in with Gene in Villarica. I was on the couch. I was ready. We were both ready. He'd never seen it either. And by the end of the first week, I was like, I don't like this. And he's like, I don't either. I was like, I don't know if I want to watch anymore. But, and then they went, they made the cardinal sin of, I guess it was popular. So then they started airing two episodes a night. And I was like, no, I can't do 2 hours of this a night every night. Nope, I'm out. So that's all I've seen is some of the first season.
Yeah. So what happened for me, we were living in Seattle at the time and I saw the commercials because I'd seen the movie and the movie was terrible. And I said to my wife, like, they made a movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, she's a teenager and she fights vampires. She's like, we're not watching that. I was like, oh, hell yeah, we are. And she's like, I can't believe you're making me watch the show. And then she loved it. But you know what? I'm the person who brought Supernatural into the house. So I always pull that out when she's like, why are we watching this? This show's terrible. I'm always like, I brought Supernatural into the house. You would not have watched it without me. I am awesome. So so load up NCIS New Orleans and let's fucking make it happen. Which is a terrible show, but I love it because it's
never
so
seen
bad.
Any of those shows.
It is so bad. It's so bad, but I love it because I love it for two reasons. It really annoys my wife and it's so bad.
Yeah. Which one is the one with Mark Harmon and the goth girl?
Oh, she left. She's dead.
What?
Yeah, she died.
Oh, everybody told me I would like that show because of her.
That's OG NCIS.
I was like, you know what? I would come closer to watching this for Mark Harmon than I would just because there's a goth girl on.
Paulie Peretti, whatever her name was. Yeah, no, she left last season.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I watched one episode and it fucking sucked, so I didn't watch
it
anymore.
It does suck, but I made us watch it because you gotta take it how you can get it.
That's it.
Basically. Okay, so the next thing is something that, in my opinion, definitely did not suck. One of my favorite movies of this year.
Wow.
That says about me. Is another Netflix exclusive, and it is called The Night Comes for Us. This is one of the, like, I think it's funny that, like, I watch all these horror movies and I'm just like, yeah, whatever. You know, people getting fucking stabbed in the face and whatever, all the fucking gore and shit. And sometimes I laugh because it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But then you watch The Night Comes for Us, which is a kung fu movie, I guess what you'd call it.
Yeah, it's listed as a drama / thriller / action, but fuck all that shit.
And it's so fucking brutal, but so awesome. So if you've seen The Raid, which if you fucking haven't seen The Raid, stop this shit right now and go fucking watch The Raid. I rewatched The Raid to prepare for this. And, you know, that's one of the things that I noticed about The Raid is how stylish it was in terms of the camera movements and the framing of certain shots and how much that didn't show up on Apostle. It actually made me more disappointed for what Apostle ended up being, knowing you know, kind of what Gareth Edwards is kind of capable of doing. The Raid's a fucking great movie, and it's the same kind of brutal but different. You know, The Raid is, you know, kind of the brutality of it is limited to what you might have on hand in an apartment, whereas The Night Comes for Us is not at all limited to
that. Good Lord.
Some of the same people, so I'm going to fuck up their names, but Iko Uwais, who plays the main character in The Raid, he plays a guy named Aryan, and then Joe Taslim, who was, in The Raid, he's the guy, the police guy, who gets in a fight with the long-haired dude and ends up getting his neck broken. He plays the main character, Ito, and then there's a bunch of other people from The Raid that's in it, but then the guy who directed it and wrote it, Timo... I'm afraid to pronounce his name.
I know.
Tahanto. He did a short in VHS2. So he did the, he did the Safe Haven segment.
It's the best part.
And then he also did a movie called Headshot, with Iko Uwais, which I have not seen, but I need to.
Oh, watch it.
And then a couple other things. But it
you liking this as much as I think you do, you need to see Headshot.
I fucking love this movie. I love this movie. So I'm a huge fan of. I don't need a reason for two guys to just start beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, like,
I love kung fu movies.
Yeah, I do too.
And the more brutal, the better. When I was a kid, I turned on a kung fu movie, and these guys grabbed this guy in an elevator and took a giant fucking drill and drilled into his chest, and I didn't know why it happened. Blood spurted everywhere, and I just was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know why that guy just got drilled in the fucking chest, but I'm all for it. He probably deserved it.
Who are they going to drill next?
Exactly. Right. Goddamn right. So anyway, so Night Comes First. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward movie. You know, Joe,
man, I will tell you, paper thin plot for its 2 hour runtime.
Yeah. So Joe Taslim plays a guy, and he's a member of this this group of triad, I guess, generals, for lack of a better word, called the Six Seas. And they are, you know, kind of, you know, killing innocent civilians the way that triads do. And he's supposed
to wipe out a village for
They wiped out a village or whatnot, and he's supposed to kill this little girl, and he doesn't. And instead, he takes her, brings her back to his place, and Iko, however you say his name, he was kind of like another Sixties member who's kind of sent after him. But you know, Ito, he brings his friends from previous. You know, you kind of get a little flashback of like little, you know, kind of triad dealings or when they were starting to get in with the triads. He brings his friends into the mix to help him protect this girl. And it's just one fucking fight after another. And it gets absolutely brutal. And it's fucking great. It's great.
It's got. The violence is so over the top at times and so gory that I was cackling at the television.
Me too. I would go, oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh.
I know.
My wife came up. She's like, what are you watching? And then I showed her this one scene. There's this one. There are these two female and they're together. These two female assassins that are sent to get this girl, and one of them just has this razor wire with like a weight at the end of it, and she fucking spins that shit around, and she ends up getting her throat cut and her fingers chopped off. And my wife is like, "What are you watching?" And I showed her that part, and I went, "Her fingers came off." And she's just like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, this movie for me, because the choreography is spectacular. It is amazing. I can't even begin to imagine, number one, in like writing this shit and then trying to get sometimes 20 people in one scene to do all this shit as flawlessly as they do it. It's like, but because of the gore, it's for me, it's like the perfect split down the middle of The Raid and Ricky O. Because Ricky O is so over the top. And while this is over the top, it's not Ricky O over the top.
And I think it's – I mean, The Raid is definitely violent, but The Raid is more I don't know. It's not as I feel, even though like it opens with that guy like shooting all those people in the head. I feel like it – I don't know. Right. The graphicness of The Raid seems to be – it's more like gunshots and stuff, and less, you know, like, you know, beating, like getting in a fight, near a pool table, pulling off the net with a couple pool balls in it, and then fucking beating a guy to death. And then a close up of the net with chunks of hair.
Right.
And blood dripping off of it.
Right. So like you said, The Raid opens with people being shot in the head. This movie has a goddamn scene where somebody mounts the hood of a car and empties a clip of a machine gun into the driver's face.
Yeah.
And like, you just see his face turn into hamburger.
Yeah.
Like, It's fucking nuts.
Yeah. And then, you know, the thing, you know, when you talk about kind of the choreography, and I liked how there was a number of instances where, you know, things that happened in the movie, that made sense when they happened, then, became part of a fight scene, you know, down the line. Like a perfect example is when the operator, she comes to get the girl or protect the girl or whatever. And then she, sets off, you know, all the bombs so that when the guys come in the hallway, bombs go off and turn them all to fucking
pieces,
pieces of nothing. And then she gets in a fight, you know, later on, and then moves into that hallway and starts using the corpses to her advantage. And I was like, that, yes, that's it right there. That's
perfect. Like, and the movie's not one location, but that's one location. That's why I love, sometimes I just love a one location movie because of stuff just like that.
Yep.
Not that this is that, because this movie's not, you strap the fuck in, because this thing does not slow down ever.
Right.
And no, don't get attached to any fucking body.
No, like, no. Oh my God. Right. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was like, man, Bob's my boy.
Bobby was the best. Well, I fucking love Bobby.
Was the shit. But then I was like, well, that sucked.
But you know, the thing about it is how much it fit, you know, like you know, it worked because you get attached to these people, and then so then even with the little bit of screen, just the fact that they're willing to help this little girl, so then when shit kind of goes sideways, regardless of, you know, who makes it and who doesn't, you know, you definitely feel it more because, you know, you in the short time, you know, you had the opportunity to kind of grow attached to them. But no, I loved it. I had, you know, I heard about it, and it was one of those things where, you know, it was on my list, and it just, you know, was a matter of, okay, well, when am I going to kind of take the time to watch it?
That was my thing, because I watched at least one horror movie every day in October, and most days I watched at least two. And I think I ended up with, like, I don't want to say most days, but a lot of days I got to more than one. And I ended up with watching all of The Haunting of Hill House and then 44 movies. And whoa. I started this movie one day in the next to last week of whenever it was, like, it had just gone up. Mm-hmm. And I started and I was like, no, I got to watch a horror movie today. Like, I've stuck with it this long. So I turned it off. I wish I'd kind of went ahead and watched it, but you know, I knew we'd do it for an episode. And so I talked myself into waiting.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I mean, I, you know, like, for me, like, I love the Ip Man movies, even though the third one, like, Mike Tyson shows up for
who knows why.
For no fucking reason.
Same
no fucking
reason why Busta Rhymes shows up in fucking Halloween Resurrection.
So, you know, so I, you know, I love a good kind of kung fu movie, and that's what you got here. But again, like, if you are going to watch it, it's not a Bruce Lee movie. Mm-mm. You know, it's not even a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. It is, you know, it is that kind of that awesome, you know, kind of Malaysian, like The Raid. If you read up on The Raid and you're just like, nope, not for me, this ain't either.
This is not either.
the other thing
that I thought was weird that I didn't quite understand is that sometimes it was subtitles and sometimes they spoke English.
It seemed like, I think it's because the one, like, to me, it felt like it was because the one boss guy spoke English. So,
but like, just about every character that spoke did both at some point, almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of weird.
But here's the thing. And this is why, in part, because, you know, the you don't need, like, no, The Raid, right? Like, I watched The Raid, I, like, it's got subtitles on. I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't pay attention. Because you know what the fuck is up just by watching,
right,
you know, kind of what's going on.
But I thought, even though still, I thought some of the relationships in this movie, I, you know, and I know, it, like I said, you just strap in for 2 hours and watch people beat the shit out of each other. That's fine. But there were still things that happened where I was kind of scratching my head. I was like the motorcycle sniper girl who I thought was badass.
The operator.
Yeah, the operator. So she's saving what's his name when he's in the car and all the guys are surrounding the car.
Yeah.
But then, like, she's still trying to kill the girl. I didn't understand that. Like, there was just certain things that she would do.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, and it hadn't happened to where she had met Ito yet and didn't know about, made the change.
Right.
So I'm like, well, why is she then not letting them kill him? And then, or just, she's moving on. Like, I don't, cause I thought those are her people. And it was just a couple little things like that, little like things like with the characters. And I was just kind of like,
yeah, I didn't get it either. And I was, yeah, no, I agree with you. And I was just like, yeah, whatever.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, I know. At the end of the day, we got to see five more people get fucking shot. So that's fine.
But it was great. I mean, yeah, I just, it was really, you know, good. I forgot. You know, I tend to get into, I just kind of get into certain types of movies that I want to watch. And, you know, I forget how much I love, you know, there's certain other types of movies that I just,
we don't
really
get these movies that much anymore.
No, we don't. Not, I mean, and that's why I think, you know, Netflix is great because,
yep,
you know, there's a market for them in other parts of the world. And I think there's a market for them here in the States, not to say that there isn't here in the States, but, mm-hmm. You're not going to release a movie like this,
no,
in, you know, in a theater. I mean, nobody's going to go see it.
Unfortunately, that's a damn shame. But you're right.
But you know, Netflix, it's like, hey, we'll show your fucking nasty ass chop sake movie. Like, thanks, thanks, dude. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah. So I'm trying to think what's next.
Overlord.
Yes.
Oh, I can't fucking wait. I cannot fucking wait.
You know, are you worried that they've said it's not going to be a Cloverfield thing, but are you worried it's going to be a Cloverfield thing? Because I'm kind of worried that they're going to find a way to fuck it up.
I don't know. I saw the teaser. Like, I'm not watching trailers anymore, so I know what I saw in the teaser, and I'm fucking excited. That's all I can tell you about Overlord.
No, I am too. But, you know, I don't want them to try to hamstring this into some weird Cloverfield universe.
I don't think so. I didn't get that vibe from it. You know, all I want is a World War II movie where fucking Nazis are doing some fucked up ass experiments on like dead Nazi soldiers and turn them into fucking mutants. That's all I want.
Me too.
So me too. I don't need any, you know, no fuckery. That's it. That's a good movie right there.
No fuckery. None of y'all bullshit.
Yeah.
No, I want,
come at
yeah.
me with some weird shit. Nope. I just want to watch fucking mutant goddamn Nazi fucking monsters in American soldiers or whatever soldiers versus them.
Mm-hmm. I get it. So Overlord's next, and then probably, you know, 2 weeks. I should have Red Dead at that point. Probably, you know, kind of been spending some time with
it. Is it Death House hit VOD finally? I'm going to be watching that this week.
I don't know that one. What's that one?
That's the one that they've been talking about for fucking years. It's supposed to be the finger quotes, the Expendables of horror. And it has like Kane Hodder, Michael Berryman, Adrian Barbeau, like. It's like the Expendables, Barbeau. But it's horror characters.
Jesus. I didn't realize she was still around.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to watch that too.
I'll be watching that. Yeah, but for Overlord's the big thing for me right now.
Yeah, me too. Because that actually comes out this weekend.
Tomorrow, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
But I'm on call, so I can't see it until next weekend. So.
Right. Yeah, so, well, whatever it is. You know, we'll be here bringing it to you, and hopefully you'll be with us. So for myself and Mitch, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it as always. This has been episode 59 of Divided by Werewolves, and we hope to see you in the next couple weeks. So thank you again. Good night, and have a good evening. I can't find the damn thing. I got so many goddamn things open here. I can't fucking find it. Here it is. Good night. Thank you. Good luck.